Blog Talk Radio.
Bring you all your dish for lunchtime.
So it's going to be really great. So definitely check me out. All right. All right, y'all. So today I got a very good show. Today I'm going to be talking. I have a very hot conversation piece. I'm going to be talking about these reality TV shows and also just the image that it gives women. A few of you have comments on that. I'm going to be reading those comments. And of course, you know, you are all welcome to comment live by once again calling 646-200-3136. Also later in the show, I got a very interesting interview that's coming up. If you are in the New York City area or the Triad area and you're looking for something to do this week, well, the Apollo is the place to be. And I have director Monique Lisa, who will be here a little bit later in the show, telling us about a play that she directed and put together. It's going to be very good. It's going to be at the world famous Apollo Theater. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up. And of course, you know, I have your Drunk Off the Juice. I give you all your celebrity gossip that you all can't wait to hear. So yeah, that's how this show is going to be going down today. All right, so I just hope that everybody had a great weekend and a great holiday, you know, New Year's and Christmas and all that good stuff. Hope everybody was safe and made it into the New Year safe and sound. And I'm happy to say that me and my family, we made it safe and sound. So far, 2013 is very good. It's looking very promising. So I'm just praying that it stays that way and, you know, just pray for the best. All righty then. But right now, let's go ahead and get into some Bustas and those skeezers. Y'all know that's how I start my show out with. All right. So this today, my Bustas and skeezers, I want to talk to the young adults about never let anybody stop you from what you want to do. Okay? Let me say something. There are so many haters and so many jealous people and so many envious people out there who don't want to see you succeed. And the important thing about it is to know where so many people may actually be. It won't always be enemies. It won't always be people you don't know. Yeah, it could be your family members or your closest friends. So you really got to be careful on like who you tell your dreams to, who you tell your goals to. You know, I know a lot of times we want to share things, especially you know, when we have great ideas and want to share things with people. But you always got to remember that everybody is not going to be happy for you the way you may want them to or the way they should be. So, you know, I've learned from my great aunt. Well, I mean, not like great aunt, like a great aunt, but she's a great aunt. She's my aunt. She's great. I've learned from her that I always write things, put things on paper. You know what I'm saying? Or if you believe in prayer, pray to God. You know, talk to God about it. You know, just talk to God like you would a regular person. You know, talk to God about it. Or if you maybe don't have a religion, then put it on paper. Yeah, my aunt always told me to put all my thoughts on paper. That way, the paper won't tell anybody. The paper won't be jealous of you. The paper won't try to put you down. The paper will be there for any time you need to go back and put, you know, read it, you know, edit it or rewrite it or whatever you need to do. Or if you do have that special person that you know they're a very special person, then tell that person. Like, for example, that would be my aunt. You know, I tell her a lot of things. She's not going to go back and she's not going to pull me down, or, oh, you shouldn't do this, or, oh, you'll never do this, or, oh, you'll never make it. You know, she's always giving me encouraging words. That's the people that you want to tell your goals to and your secrets or whatever you may have. Okay, so remember that, people, young adults, because one thing you want to be is Busta and Skeeza free. Remember that, okay? All right, y'all, so there you have it. Bustas and Skeezers for another Tuesday. All right, y'all. Now, coming up next, as y'all know, conversation piece, conversation piece, conversation piece. We have got to talk about these reality TV shows. And this specific one, I don't know if you all heard about it, it's called All My Baby's Mama. Yeah. The title is just controversial enough. So we're going to talk about it. I definitely want to hear your thoughts on it. That's going to be next. Right now, we're going to get into some Total. And they are talking about some kissing you. Who are you trying to kiss? I don't know. We're going to find out. FLY Radio. Keep it real hot and free with your boys, D-Fly, y'all. Then. What's up, y'all? We are now keeping it, we are still keeping it real hot and fresh. I am your boy Z-Fly, and y'all know y'all are rocking out right now with FLY Radio. All right, y'all. So remember, the number to call in is 646-200-3136. Hit me up on Twitter at Real Hot Fresh. I will be reading your tweets live on the show, okay? So real quick, just to let you know, later in the show, also, I'm going to be giving you my thoughts on the movie The Django. So if you have seen The Django, as you know, it's kind of controversial, but it's, you know, I'll admit it wasn't what I thought. I mean, in a good way, you know, so I did enjoy it, but I'll tell you a little bit about that later. So if you have seen it, I want to know your comments too. Like, what do you think, you know, I guess, the usage of the N-word and all that kind of stuff in the movie. So we'll talk about that later, okay? But right now, let's go ahead and get into our first conversation piece for today. And we're talking about reality TV, okay? And as y'all know, reality TV has been going on for a while. Whoever was the first person that, you know, that thought of, oh, let's follow people around and make it, you know, let's show their real everyday life and make it a show. You know, it's been going on for a while now. Reality TV is starting to really take over actual, you know, scripted, you know, shows. Even though a lot of people say that reality TV is a little scripted as well, but, you know. However, there is this reality TV show that's getting a lot of controversy. Now, more controversy than the Real Housewives and, you know, Honey Boo Boo and, you know, some of those others, you know, Survivor or whoever, getting a lot of the controversy than that. And it's called All My Baby Mamas, and it's actually supposed to air this spring on the Oxygen Network. And basically, it's about the rapper Shawty Low and his 11 baby mamas, and along with the kids. And it's just not really sitting too well with a lot of people. The network has had many letters from people trying to ban it, you know, trying to ban the show from even airing. You know, basically, it's All My Baby Mamas. It's supposed to be a one-hour reality special slated, you know, to air in, like I said, you know, spring. Like I said, it's starring hip-hop artist Shawty Low, whose name is Carlos Walker, and his 11 children by 10 different women. You know, and then to make it even worse, he has a 19-year-old girlfriend. Now, I'm not aware of how old he is, but he is not in his teens. If anything, he's probably in his late 20s or early 30s, if anything. So he has a 19-year-old girlfriend and 10 baby mamas and 11 children. You know, Now there's been a sneak peek, and by the look of the sneak peek, they're kind of referring it to like a Brady Bunch more than a American Family type reality show, and a lot of people are just saying that, you know, by pushing these degrading images, you know, they're saying that Oxygen is basically just humiliating, you know, girls and women and also just stereotyping African Americans, you know, because it is going to be an African-American show. Now, as of, like, Friday, I don't believe it was this past Friday, but the Friday before, the show had, like, 13,000 signatures on a plea, you know, to kind of stop. It also had helpers from, like, bloggers, journalists, activists, including NAACP, to try to stop this show from actually, you know, airing. Now, as y'all know, reality TV is known for catfights and you know, questionable parenting and, you know, unregulated households and stuff like that. But you know, showing a guy with like 10 baby mamas, 11 children, and a 19-year-old girlfriend, like that, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, that is not showing the right image. Even if it happens anyway, you know what I'm saying? Because like, people that are talking about their baby mamas, or my baby daddy, my baby mama, whoever. But who, I mean, but they actually see it. And another thing now, the article states that, you know, how it's going to degrade women, and, you know, it's not really good on impressionable young women, and you know, it's showing them, you know, just a negative outlook of how to be. But you know what? Let's talk about the guys. Are you serious? I think it's showing guys an awful way to live. You know, oh, yeah, just go out and just have children by all many, many different women. You know, 11 children, you know, two here, three there, who cares? You know, have all these women, have all these baby mamas. I mean, to me, honestly, you know, I know that people love to berate women and then really put them in the hot pan. But from my point of view, I look at this guy as just really low. I do. I look at him as really low. Like, you got all these women pregnant, and you got all these children, and you think you're, and what do you think you are, like some king of the jungle or something? Like, you're really pathetic. Like, and like me, I think it really ruins the minds of impressionable young males, because they're looking at him thinking, oh, he's a rapper, oh, he's a star, oh, he got these women pregnant, oh, wow, look, he's the king, and oh, please, let me tell you something, it looks very bad on the male. I know that the media is not going to try to make it look like that, but it is. He looks very low, he looks very tacky, he looks like he doesn't believe in protection, he looks like a lot of things, and you know, and I'm pretty sure that all those 11 children, each and every one of them don't get the love and support from their dad. You know, it just looks bad on him. Like, he has these women, think about it. Think about child support. Think about supporting his children. Think about a lot of things. Wow, I could go on and on and on. But you know what? I took a poll on this. You know, my poll is called Down the Poll. And what I do is I like to get, you know, you all of your thoughts on this. So the question was, do you think reality TV hurts the image of females? And Shayna Joyner, she says, some of the shows portray a woman as being loud, rowdy, messy, gullible, naive. I can go on and on, but not all women are like that. But if they wouldn't put that on TV, how many ratings would they get? I honestly don't like them, but to each its own. My daughter loves them, so on our mother-daughter bonding days, I'll step into her world and do some of the things that she likes to do. Okay, thank you for that, Shayna Joyner. Okay, I'm going to go to Twitter. I have DAW Tweets. He says no. So basically he just says no, he don't think that reality TV hurts the image of females. Well, thank you for your tweet, but however, I do disagree with that, because I mean, if you think about it, you know, just like I said, you know, most of these reality shows, they're always showing women fighting and always showing women, you know, not trusting the other woman, and, you know, just always showing that women has to be on the attack with each other, while the guy just sits back there and kind of enjoys the cat fights and enjoys women fighting over him. It's very tacky. It's very tacky. And, you know, also, too, I don't know if all of you knew, but the network Oxygen was actually founded and was started by no other than Oprah Winfrey back in 1998. And actually, whenever Oprah, you know, she started it, it was supposed to be a network about empowering women. Can you believe that? But of course, since 1998 and 2007, the network was sold to NBC for $925 million. So yeah, so now that NBC owns it, you know, they're doing with it as they please, and it's definitely not about women empowering, because as you know, the Bad Girls Club also airs on Oxygen, and y'all know that's nothing about women empowerment. That's all about just girls fighting and being jealous and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, so basically, just to get back on topic, this is very tacky. I mean, my opinion, I think it's very tacky. I really hope that they do ban it, because it does show a lot of stereotypes. It shows stereotypes of African or Black Americans. It shows stereotypes of women. It shows stereotypes of a male. You know, like, that's all he likes is just, as they will say, spreading his seed and not taking care of his seed, and just have all these women mad at each other, like, oh, he's mine, oh, he wants me, oh, he was with me last night, all that kind of craziness, while he just goes off and impregnate more women. It is a very tacky idea of a show, and if this is what America has really gotten down to, it's really sad. It is really, really sad. And I do want to know, like, if you are listening live, I want to know, what do you all think of reality TV and the image that it has on women? Call live 646-200-3136. Again, that's 646-200-3136. Please let me know. Just real last, it also says that, you know, that it is international, reaching, telling of young, you know. So basically, they're saying that this show will be telling young females that, you know, it's okay to have unprotected sex, that other women are enemies. Yeah, just, you know, so basically just what I said, you know, that they're not valued by men, that their financial subsistence come from a man, and that babies are just spectators in all of this. That is so true. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, think about it. All my baby mamas, 10 baby mamas, 11 children, one guy. Really? Really? You know, and for what? For what? It's like none of these women have respect. Like, why would, like, the fourth or fifth woman, you know, in that 10, why would they want a guy who's probably not taking care of your previous kids? Women, you really got to stop thinking, oh, well, I can change him. Oh, he wants me. You got to stop it. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so call in 646-200-3136. Coming up next, I have a very great interview by director Monique Lisa. She will be telling us all about her play that's going to be at the Apollo Theater. But coming up next, I got some of that drunk off the juice that y'all know y'all have. You know, you won't believe the drunk off the juice. There is more drama in the celebrity world. So stay tuned. I got it coming up next. Right now, let's switch gears with some TLC with the song Switch. about to switch back to the show. That's right. Okay, just to let you know, I was going to the phone line. I saw a 919 area code that was happening. If you did have a comment, please call back in. So yeah, 919 area code. If you want to call back in, whoever you were, if you had a comment or question, or you want to comment on the previous conversation piece, then please call back in. Definitely want to get your comments on live on air. So yeah, just let you know. Definitely call back in, 919 area code. All right, y'all, what's up? What's up? We're back in the show. We're keeping it real hot and fresh. This is the FLY radio, and I am your boy Z Fly, and y'all already know what time it is. It's time to get drunk off the juice. Let's go. Yeah. What's up, y'all? What's up? Time for Drunk Off the Juice. All right, so now, how many of y'all know the rapper Trinidad James? Well, if you don't know him, 50 Cent definitely found out who he was, and he actually had a little bit of laugh about it. That's right, rapper 50 Cent, he laughed at Trinidad James' look and the video in an interview with DJ WooKid. Now, while 50 acknowledged that the song was big, you know, he just couldn't, you know, get over how, you know, the style of Trinidad James. You know, if you haven't seen Trinidad James, he has, like, you know, gold chains. You know, he wears this hat. He got big shades. Basically, 50 Cent said, you know, you see the energy that's on the record. You know, he said the record video was more important than the song. Yeah, what's his name? Trinidad? He said that was important because it felt like, man, this isn't real. It was a risky choice because we don't know who Trinidad James is. So for the very first time, you know, you come out looking like, does he really look like that? But he does really look like that. You know, he looked a little closer, and yeah, it was serious. You know, he has his own little style. He had, you know, the Armani draws. He had the gold rings. He had the Versace slippers. And you can't help but see his teeth. Now, his teeth is not even, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, he really needs braces. And then to make it even worse, he has, like, you know what I'm saying, gold front. So he got these teeth. He got these shades. He got it going on. So I guess. So hey, big ups to Trinidad James. All right, y'all. Now, y'all remember Hip Hop of Atlanta, you know, Love and Hip Hop of Atlanta, right? Now, as y'all know, Tiny and a few other ladies, you know, they have this show that comes on, you know, where they talk about different stuff, they host or whatever. And one of the stars for Love and Hip Hop was on it, Jocelyn Hernandez. And Tamar Braxton, she kind of questioned Jocelyn's gender, basically. And, you know, so of course Jocelyn, you know, she heard about it. And Tamar, you know, she tried to, you know, apologize or whatever, but Jocelyn was not interested in making nice. Basically, she fired back, you know, and she was saying, you know, that, like, you know, she kind of threatened, you know, Tamar Braxton, and she was like, you know, I don't accept apologies from scary bees. I see them when I see them. She said, forget y'all old tired garden tools. And she said, you know, you need to get some love in your life. She didn't say love, but I'm using the edited versions. So, yeah, so basically you might not want to mess with Jocelyn or at least call her a man because, yeah, I don't know if it's going to end so well, okay? All right, y'all. So now more news I have. Have you heard about this new singer? Her name is Azealia Banks, okay? Azealia Banks, she's a singer, and she also found herself facing backlash from many of her fans and supporters after she tweeted a homophobic insult to gay blogger Perez Hilton. Now, as Hilton antagonized the young rapper about her ongoing feud with fellow newcomer Angel Hayes, now she decided to fire back by dropping an F-bomb. She tweeted, she said, laugh out loud, what a messy F maggot, you know, rhymes with maggot, you are. And then she unapologetically tried to justify, you know, using the term by saying that a maggot, you know, well, y'all get it, you know, a maggot is not a homosexual male. A maggot is any male who acts like a female. So basically, you know, there was a big difference that she said, and she said, and she said, you know, if you listen to my music and you are not offended by the N word, we're not gonna go there, you know, with the F word either. So unpleasant meddling woman, you know, according to her is a B, and a pleasant meddling man, according to her, equals Perez Hilton. So basically, she said that she do apologize to anyone who was offended, but she is not sorry for what she said to Perez Hilton. So that was kind of a big controversy with that. And then the thing about it, you know, it didn't only, I guess, upset Perez Hilton and her supporters and fans, because an even bigger company got involved, and that's GLAAD, you know, GLAAD. They issued a statement admonishing the rapper. They said, regardless of her intent or her personal definition, what matters is the meaning given to that word by those who hear it and the damage it causes when they do. Undoubtedly, there are gay kids who follow her on Twitter who hear this word in an entirely different context. This word is used almost universally by bullies, often as part of a larger verbal or physical assault. This word hurts those kids no matter what bank means by it. So that was what GLAAD had to say in a statement. But of course, the rapper was not going to take that land down. She was like, she fired back by saying GLAAD and all these others need to give it a break, picking and choosing when to be offended. She said, huh. She said, the derogatory words are not now in 2013, simply just expletives. So these words get used in movies, books, songs, films, wherever, she said, so don't be so hypocritical. So basically, she said, she feels bad for using the word, but she don't feel bad for, you know, using it the way, I guess, she did to Perez Hilton. So she's not apologizing at all. So, I in a way, you got to give it to her. She's standing her ground. And, you know, in a way, too, yikes. I'm going to stay on the fence with this one. But, you know, I guess in kind of what she said, you know, people are using a lot of words that are known as, you know, offensive these days, just like the N word. People use that, other races use that, and it's like it's okay. So I guess the F word would be one of those highly words that's very offensive too, and people are using it. You know, I mean, my thing is, if you know you're not the F word, then you shouldn't get offended. You know, I don't care who uses it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody can call you a crazy as a bedbug all day, but if you know you ain't crazy as a bedbug, why you gonna get offended? So that's just something that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to stay on the fence with that. All right, so now, my last juice to get you real drunk is Nicki Minaj in the 2012 Really Quiet. Now, all of you bars may know that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all may be like, where is Nicki? She's not tweeting. Where is she? Oh, my God, where is she? Well, Nicki Minaj said, you know, that she wanted to take a little break. You know, she took a month break from Twitter. She wasn't on Twitter tweeting anything. But, however, she said, look, I didn't leave you, Barbs. You all know that. You know that I was all with you, in spirit. And she said, you all know that. So start with the dramatics. She said, however, I just needed some time. She said, but however, you know, on her sabbatical, it was very enlightening, peaceful, and she's now back. So all of Nicki Minaj's Barbs, be happy because the girl is back. Okay? And right now, you are now drunk off the juice. All right, y'all, so there you have it, another Drunk Off the Juice for ya, coming with your crazy celebrities. All right, y'all, so stay tuned. Like I said, coming up, we should have a very, very special guest, director Monique Lisa, telling us what's going on at Apollo. And also, I'm going to be telling you about my time at the movie, seeing the movie The Django, and my thoughts on it and all that kind of good stuff. All right, so let's get into some more music. But in the meantime, I do want to encourage everybody, please call in at 646-200-3136. And also, like I said, the caller, the 919 area code, if you are still listening, definitely call back, because I would love to hear what you had to say. So, and everybody else, if you want to comment or question, I'm here. Let me know. All right, this is FLY Radio, and you are now keeping it real hot and fresh.
A quick story from rags to riches, coming to you from Supernova, a.k.a. Left Eye. Give it to him. Give it to him.
like y'all. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to FLY Radio. Y'all know I'm keeping it real hot and fresh, and y'all are too for 15 more minutes. All right, y'all, we're still waiting for Monique Lisa to call in today. So while we wait, I'm going to go ahead and tell you all about my experience of watching the movie The Django. So last night I did go see The Django. And you know, I'll admit now, I did prejudge it at first, and I prejudged it only by hearing, you know, what I talk, you know, what you know, comments about it. You know, a lot of people, you know, reviews about it. A lot of people were saying, oh, well, you know, it made me cry. And, oh, you know, it was about slavery, and I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. You know, so I was already thinking, oh, my goodness, another movie about slavery. Like, are we ever going to get past that? But I did go see it for myself. And you know what? It was actually a really great movie. I highly comment, I mean, not comment, but, you know, I highly pat or give thumbs up to Quentin Tarantino, the producer, director, whatever you going to call him, for that movie. Because, you know, for one thing, yes, it wasn't really a movie about slavery. Yes, it had slavery in it. You know, it was just showing in that time period. It was like 1800 and something. You know, it was in the time period of slavery. But the plot of the story was just to show how, I guess, a slave, you know, he triumphs in the end, you know. And he really did. You know, Jamie Foxx played the Django, the main character. And he really triumphs in the end. And you know, I'm not going to tell the whole story. I mean, tell the whole thing, you know, for those who haven't seen it. But the point is, I really enjoyed it. You know, there was a lot of usage of the N-word. Now, I know there was a big controversy. You know, it is so funny what makes controversy these days, because to me it's ridiculous. But there's a lot of controversy about, you know, the N-word being used, you know, I guess mainly by the white characters in the movie. But, you know, honestly, my opinion, no, I don't think so. I mean, for one thing, you're making a movie, and I think if you're going to make a movie about slavery or a time period during slavery, then you need to be realistic. And realistically, back then, they didn't edit, you know, it. So why would it be edited in a movie? I mean, those are just actors, okay? I mean, they're just acting. They're trying to make it real for you. They're trying to bring you back to the 1800s or whatever time period. I don't think it was inappropriate. I don't think that the N word was used too many times, because I feel that back then they used it as many times as they wanted, and the way that it was used, yeah, I think it was correct. Yeah. And another thing, okay, you know, just like you know, if you were listening to my Drunk Off the Juice about the girl using the F word that rhymes with maggot, you know, stop being so touchy. Let me tell you something. And today, if you want to be offended, don't be offended by that movie. Be offended that today so many people still use the N-word, and it's not even black people that use it. It's almost like any other race that want to, you know, that want to use it. So why would you be offended? And, you know, now I'm just gonna just assume, I could be wrong, I'm just gonna assume that, you know, the controversy was from black people, you know. Maybe I'm wrong, it could have been for other reasons, I don't know. But I'm just going to assume that the controversy about the movie came from black people not liking the N-word used so much. But black people, let me tell you something. Don't worry about that movie. You need to worry about, in the real world, whenever I go out and I hear all kinds of other races just using the N-word freely, like it never meant anything. I don't know. I mean, I mean me personally, it doesn't sit too well with me. Some people say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't bother me. Or, oh, that's the past. Or, oh, you know, we use it to take the power from it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, because for one thing, we all live in different times, and, you know, people think differently and people act differently. But then I just think about all those people. You know, there was a time that really wasn't that long ago, because, you know, slavery has only been ended. Well, how many folks? So many years, I mean, it's not like forever. And I think about all those people, you know, whenever I look at a movie like The Django or Roots, and you see how blacks were treated, and, you know, they didn't want to get called that name, and they got called that name, so it's just a, you know, derogatory way. And then now, people just use it, it's kind of like not, I don't know. It's kind of like almost like not showing type of respect or something, especially whenever all types of races use it, you know, because let me tell you something, because see, whatever other races use it, it don't mean to them what it means to black people, you know, so they're just saying it, you know, they're saying it like in a, you know, in a cool way, or either saying it to refer to their friends, but it's not just something to use, you know. I don't think it should be used, period. Because you know what? Because it's funny how I noticed. It's funny how people want to use that the black derogatory name, you know, as just like a little slogan or whatever. But why don't we use other ethnic groups their derogatory slogans? You know, how would the Hispanic feel if we go around calling people spics? What's up, my spic? Oh, what's up, my immigrant? What's up? You know, or how would the Chinese feel? Well, what's up, my chink? You know, I'm just giving an example. You know, what if people just did it all day long? I honestly don't think, especially Hispanic people, because I see a lot of Hispanic people who are very sensitive and touchy whenever, you know, whenever they're called certain things. So I don't really think so. So that was my view on the movie. All right, let's see. We have a call. Let me see what I have. All right, so caller 845 area code. Can you hear me? Let me see, 845 area code. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, who's this? I'm great. Who's this?
This is Monique Lisa, writer, director, producer of All My Struggles, coming to the Apollo Theater.
Oh, hey, Monique. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. I'm so glad you're able to call in. Okay, cool. So everybody, Monique Lisa, director, she's on the phone. I was telling you all about this great play that is coming to Apollo Theater on January 12th at 7 p.m. It's called All My Struggles, The Wedding Plan. So we now have Monique on the phone. So Monique, thank you so much for joining us. Now, Monique, of course, without giving the play away, just give us a brief description of what the play is about.
Okay, what I usually do is I just say the tagline, which is really, okay, what would you do if someone tried to sabotage the biggest day of your life? We talk about love and betrayal, but there's so much of a twist in it that everybody kind of like says, what's going on in here now?
Okay. So great. So basically, is it kind of like a dramatic or like kind of suspense that's going to be going on in this play?
You have the suspense. You definitely have the drama. You have the comedy. Then you also have just kind of like, You know, you're looking at the family foundation and you're saying, okay, this is how we know of it to be what's happening here.
Great. Okay, so now the actors in the play, I guess the three main actors are Charles Perry. He's like the sole superhero. Then you have Eric McKay, and then you have Anissa Chalmers. Now, are these new actors to the stage, or have they been acting maybe for a while?
Well, Charles Perry, we actually just did 106 at the Park with Alicia Keys with Charles Perry a couple of weeks ago. He was in the cast of Mama, I Want to Sing when he was younger, and he's toured with Michael Jackson. He's toured with Whitney Houston. He's been everywhere with everyone. He is our comedy relief. He's just amazing singer as well as a huge comedy person. You know, he's just someone that has beautiful timing, and so we always kind of make sure that he's there. Eric McKay has been in a ton of films, a ton of different TV shows and commercials, New York Times, Chuck E. Cheese, Quiznos, Burlington Coat Factory. So there's nothing that he hasn't been in. He just has a really big resume, and he also was one of the original Apollo Theater models. He used to go out there when the Apollo Theater did their fashion shows and things like that. So he's one of the original model. So he's got a really great resume. And Anissa Chalmers, she has starred in about two movies, and she's working on another project as well as one of the stars in this show. So we've got a good cast. We've got a strong cast. We just won in Chicago the Shelley Garrett Award, which we're actually the first recipients of it. And Shelley Garrett is the godfather of all urban plays. Even we have quotes from Tyler Perry saying that after seeing Shelley Garrett's play, Beauty Shop, that it made him want to be a playwright and as well as David E. Talbert saying the same thing, that he was incredible. So I'm the only person who's ever won that award, and the group that went down with me consisted of Anissa Chalmers and Eric McKay. So we got a really strong group, and we always deliver. And 2 weeks prior to winning that award, we also won Play of the Year in North Carolina at the Red Carpet Playwright Gala. So we've got like a nice little following, and we're just hoping that everybody comes out. It's difficult. There's so much going on. We had Sandy, the hurricane. We had the nor'easter after that. We had so much going on. Then Christmas came and all the other things that come up with that holiday. So we know it's a tough time, but I think if you come out, this will really kind of take your mind off of all of that, and you kind of just get lost in the story, and you cheer them on, and you just kind of laugh with them and go through those serious family things that happen. So I just think this is a good time for people to come out and just celebrate.
Exactly. And I have two questions for you, but before I get into my questions, I just want to let everybody know, just like you said, it's January 12th. It's going to be at 7 p.m. It's going to be at the World Famous Apollo Theater. Now, the tickets are $45. However, you probably can get more information by calling 212-531-5300. The name of the play is called All My Struggles, The Wedding Plan. This is the writer, director, Monique Lisa, who is on the line right now with us. Now, getting back to the questions, now, Monique, now, you mentioned one thing I want to talk about. Now, whenever you did receive these awards, like, how did you feel, you know what I'm saying? I guess, like, just knowing that, like, people are actually recognizing the work that's being put into this play. Like, what were your feelings?
The first time that we found out we were nominated was when we were nominated for the D.C. Black Theater Awards. We actually received 5 nominations that one night of the award ceremony. And it was almost surreal, because as they were calling our names, we were kind of like talking and just enjoying being there. And someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "They called your name." And I said, "Oh, they did." The first time it happens, you're not really like cognizant, I think, totally of what's going on. You know, we just got caught up in the moment. And then by the time they called us the fifth time, I said, "Okay, something's happening here." So I think that was really our introduction to, okay, this play is starting to pick up some momentum. You know, we've gotten great write-ups in the Amsterdam News as well as a couple of other newspapers. And so when we were in North Carolina back in, I believe September, we were back in North Carolina, we were nominated. The nomination alone was great. We were excited about the nomination. And what happened when they called my name, I kind of lost my breath for a second. It was kind of like, okay, well, I think I better get up, because I hear my name, and I think this time I better respond. So I stood up, and we had to come up the red carpet and go in and you know, have an acceptance speech and the whole thing. And I just stood there, and I said, wow.
Wow, I know you were. I know you were like, what, really? Wow.
Yes, okay. I said, well, you know, the time and energy put in, it's paying off, but this still is kind of like, did they really call my name? And they, you know, they, no one tapped me on the shoulder this time, but I did look like a deer in the headlights, so.
I know, that was a wonderful feeling. Okay, so now just going a little bit back to the actors. So now, these three actors and actor that you mentioned, now, how did they actually go about, I guess, you know, being selected for this particular play? Like, did you handpick them, or were they, you know, suggested to you, or?
The audition process varies a lot. Sometimes I'll hold auditions, which I'm kind of like a family person. I like having a close knit of, people that I work with. So the newest member of that close knit family is Eric McKay, because this is actually his first production with us. But he did go to Chicago with us when we were nominated for the award and won. So this is actually his first time ever doing a full production with us. Anissa Chalmers, we've been working together in terms of the production since 2009, so it's been a little while, and we do have Stephen Strickland, who also is a part of the production. So we've got some people that have been working with us at least 3, 4, even 5 years, so they're getting to see their hard work pay off, and, you know, that labor of love, you know, because there's the thin times, and then there's the times where things are really going good. So, you know, those are the sacrifices you make when you have a close-knit, connection family-wise in terms of the people who are working with you. So I don't really have that revolving door kind of situation. I really like to get to know people and I like to have the opportunity to kind of see how their work goes. And I also go and see them in other productions. They're not only in my production, but they're in a lot of other different productions. So I go out and I support, which I think is very, very important. I go out and make sure that I'm there in the audience when they're doing someone else's production, just to let them know, hey, I believe in you, not just for my project, but for any other project that you're working on.
Wow. And you know what? There really goes a lot. I mean, that goes a long way, you know, for people, you know, like just that, you know, that knowing that, like, somebody believes in you, somebody's behind you. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful to hear. Now, you are the director now. Now, is this your, like, first play that maybe you've directed, or have you did others?
Well, I did All My Struggles, which is the first part of this play, and then All My Struggles, The Wedding Plan. So The Wedding Plan is actually the sequel. So I've worked on other productions. Yeah, it's actually the sequel. So I've worked on other productions, but as far as my own work, anything that I've done previously where it was just all me, I was probably producing that in my parents' backyard, you know, for the most part. So I was pretty I started out, you know, age 7, just writing plays and having the neighborhood kids, like, harassing them to come out and be some of the characters that I had written. So since then, it was kind of like elementary school, then junior high school. I went to a high school performing arts and, you know, really just enjoyed watching how the actors in the classes, you know, worked. And, you know, my major is dance, so I kind of, like, had that under my belt as well. So I've worked on several productions over the years. And this, you know, back in 2008 is when I just kind of put my foot down and I said, okay, now it's time to go back to the thing that I love, which is working on my shows. So that's what I've done since 2008.
I love it. So now with All My Struggles, you know, because, like, somebody like me, you know, I'll go see the play, but then like, a lot of times, you know, whenever the audience is looking at the play, they never really know, you know, like, actually how much or, you know, how much time and how much energy has actually been put into, you know, this wonderful play that they're looking at. So how long did it actually take to get All My Struggles together?
Well, the first time I took about 3 months of the audition process. So from 2008 up until March of 2009, you know, I really just looked for people who really had the, just really the, you know, embodied the characters that I had written. And so after that process was over, I started my rehearsal process. And our actual first rehearsal was July of 2009. So what I did was I took a good 9 months of developing the characters and developing the people and, you know, really pulling everything together cohesively. So that first production, 9 months of production, and then we debuted March 19th and 20th of 2010. So from then, we stayed, you know, in off-Broadway. We traveled, you know, Orlando Shakespeare Theater, the Atlanta Theater, Birmingham, Alabama. We just traveled. We traveled and we did the off-Broadway thing, and we enjoyed it. And then our one-year anniversary, which was our 30th show, was the first time we ever debuted at the Apollo, and that was the first time we ever sold out. Both shows were sold out. So it was really good. Really, really
very
good.
Very good. Okay, so now the host is Kevin.com Brown. Now, he's from the TV series 30 Rock. Now, how exactly did he get involved as being the host of the play?
Well, Kevin Brown, a.k.a. .com, actually did an off-Broadway play. He did an off-Broadway play called The Box, and he worked with Stuart Films, and they produced that. The person who wrote that probably recommended him, and they had a really good response. And so when I was looking for a host, my original idea was to use Kenny Lattimore, but at the time he was really getting his new album out and working on that. So him being in L.A., us being in New York, it kind of didn't work out the way we were expecting for it to work out, but had great conversations with Kenny and, you know, talked about him getting back into theater, and he's actually probably in a production right now that's closer to home. And so Kevin was recommended to me, and in speaking with his management and his people, then I thought it would be a good fit. So basically it was kind of like, well, he has, you know, 30 Rock, and he has a couple of other things going on. So, and he also has his comedic timing because he also did comedy. So I just thought it would be a good fit, and that's kind of how that came about.
That's and I am loving it. I'm actually ready to see it. Okay, so everybody, once again, this is All My Struggles. It's starring Charles Perry, Eric Manet, Anissa Chalmers, and it is directed and written by your girl on the phone, Monique and Lisa, and it's going to be January 12th at 7 p.m., no other than the world's famous Apollo Theater. Remember, the tickets are $45, but you can get more information by calling the box office at 212-531-5300. Now, Monique, after the Apollo, will this play be going to other cities?
We're looking to see where else we're going to take it. We're actually, I mean, we already went down to the DC Black Theater Festival and had a you know, really good response there. So this is actually, the Apollo is going to be our sixth show of this production, because the first show we did 48 shows throughout the East Coast. So this is new, you know, almost over the wedding plan. This is the new show. So this will be our sixth showing of it, and it's already won an award, so we're excited about that.
And you are doing your thing. Now, who are some of those other people that I guess that helped, you know, put the play together, and maybe some people that maybe you want to thank?
Well, definitely the cast. Eric McKay, Anissa Chalmers, Donna Harris, Stacey Mungo, Charles Perry, Stephen Strickland. We just have really a good cast of people who just kind of keep me, you know, grounded and
right,
support me and what I'm doing. So those are the people who really hold it together. Gordon Riley, we call him Junie. We just have a couple of people that they're there day in, day out. They're at every rehearsal. They're ready to work. They really help, you know, with what's going on. So those are my people. My shout outs, especially Stacey Mungo, that's my sister, and she keeps it together.
Sounds good. Now, are there any websites or maybe further information you like to give to people, to the audience?
Well, for our website, which that's going to be up and running, it has all my entertainment properties. I also co-produce a film that's coming to the theaters this spring called Speed Suit. So I'd like to just put that out there, that's speedsuitmovie.com. The trailer is there. March, I'm launching a new TV show that's going to be on the Magic Johnson Network. That's going to be Aspire TV. So I have a talk show that's going to really be able to, you know, focus on the artists that are coming out. So Monique Lisa Talks airs on Aspire TV in March. And I have the play. So the play itself is really the baby. That's really the one that I carry. And there are talks of doing a tour, so we're looking into that to see what we're going to do with that. So excited about all of these things, because I enjoy television, I enjoy film, and I enjoy theater, and those are the three things that I'm focused on right now.
Sounds hot. Now, everybody, once again, now if you love drama, if you love, if you love betrayal, lies, and if you even love a wedding cake, then you definitely want to go see All My Struggles. Once again, January 12th. This year, it's going to be at 7 p.m. The Apollo Theater is the place to be. Once again, the tickets are $45. And more information, 212-531-5300. Remember, everybody, All My Struggles is the name of the play. And Monique, I want to thank you so much for joining me and just keeping it raw and fresh. I really enjoyed you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And then, you know, and then once again, I just want to say, you know, just congratulations to your awards, because, I mean, you know, you are really doing a great job, and I can't wait to be there January 12th to see the play as well.
I look forward to it. Come on out and just talk to the people and get them excited, and I look forward to hearing your radio show.
Thank you very much. All right, well, thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all, so there you have it. Once again, be sure you do go out and support Monique Lisa. She's doing her thing with these plays, and she's winning awards. I mean, the girl is on top of it. So once again, All My Struggles, a dramatic comedy of love, betrayal, lies, and a wedding cake. So it's, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of gives you like a little sweetness in there and all that. So it's going to be January 12th at 7 p.m. Apollo Theater. Remember, the tickets are $45. And for more information, please call 212-531-5300, or you can go to Ticketmaster.com for more information as well. All right, y'all. Coming up next, I got your 10 ways you know you ghetto. But before, let me go and get into some more music, and we're going to be out of here soon, y'all. All right, y'all, remember, this is FLY Radio, and you are keeping it real hot and fresh with your boy, Z-Fly. Let's do it. And also remember, 646-200-3136 is the number. Hey, we still rocking out, keeping it raw and fresh style. Everybody, I want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much for all your tweets and your Facebook comments on the down the poll topic. Also, thank you for everything. Thank you for always tuning in. Thank you for going back and listening to my show. Thank you for supporting me. Whew, I got a lot of things planned for 2013, and you know I'm gonna really try to execute them because at the end of the day, it's all for you all. I don't do this for myself. I do it for you because I love to entertain you. That's right. So once again, just thank you. Thank you to Monique Lisa for stopping by and you know, speaking with us and telling us all about her great play, All My Struggles. Yeah, and remember, that's going to be January 12th at 7 p.m. at the Apollo Theater. So if you are in New York City, or if you're going to be in New York City, then why not go? You know, so it's going to be $45, or maybe you can get a better deal if you call Ticketmaster by logging on Ticketmaster.com or call the box office 212-531-5300. It's going to be great. You're going to love it, and I'm sure of it. All right, y'all, but right now you're also going to love some 10 ways you know you ghetto. Let's go ahead and get that started, shall we? All right, y'all. What is it? Okay, here we go. All right, y'all, number 10. You know you ghetto if you ever use an album cover or old envelope for a dustpan. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about that is, like, you can go to Family Dollar and get, like, a dustpan for so cheap. Y'all don't want to do nothing, do you? Mm. Y'all got to save that dollar for the little Lucy. Number nine, you know you ghetto if you ever put foil on your TV antennas to get a better reception. And I'm going to add to that, you know, you ghetto, if you still got those type of TVs, okay? Okay, it is like 2013. You shouldn't have TVs with bunny ears. Yeah, I said it. Some of y'all might say, well, hey, my TV still works. Okay, but ain't nothing wrong with updating. You know what I'm saying? I know people who still got, like, the 8-track player. Number eight, you know you a hot ghetto mess if you lie on an application to get a job, and then you get up in church and testify that God made a way out of no way. Did he? More like you made a way. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Y'all trip me out. Hey, y'all try to put God in everything, and y'all know y'all behind the scenes scheming and then trying to put God in it. Y'all a mess. Number seven, you know you live in the hood if you have to come in the house when the street lights come on. I tell you the truth. Cause honey, when those lights come on, I mean, it's like a spotlight. You don't know what's about to happen. Number six, you had a candy, you know, you get up, if you had a candy lady in your neighborhood. I remember that in my grandma's neighborhood. She used to have candy, had all kinds of stuff. Airheads, lemon heads, everybody, I'll tell you. Number five, it might be time to move if you can count more than five police cars in your neighborhood on a daily basis. Whew. Number four, your mama might be ghetto if she made you pick your own switch or belt before she whooped you. Number three, you might be a ghetto Christian if you get mad at a visitor and call them out for sitting in your seat at church. Now, you know that's not a Christian thing to do. Now, yeah, you might sit on the back aisle every Sunday, but Dad, they didn't know. They just a visitor. All you got to cuss them out for. Number two, if you have ever had to walk to or home from school, and then with the thing about it, why is school about 20 miles away? Okay, and number one, ghetto may come to mind if you ever pass someone a note asking, do you like me or can I have a chance? And then you're going to put in a little box, yes or no. That's so childish. Well, hopefully you was in elementary school when you did stuff like that. So, but if you're doing it now, you're just a sad ghetto mess. All right, y'all. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, thank you. Look at me. Y'all can't have talk. I'm burping and everything. Okay. You know, so I'm keeping it real. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for Monique Lisa again. And thank you so much for tuning in next week when I have an all-brand-new show, all-brand-new topic, and some all-brand-new juice. I am your boy Z-Fly, and guess what, everybody? You all are now real hot and fresh.